This is Seattle's Morning News. Dave Ross with Colleen O'Brien. It's hard for me to believe that it's 2019 and we're still talking about human trafficking, but we are. And there's a new approach to trying to end it, which involves recruiting businesses to help. Mar Bretman is the executive director of Businesses Ending Slavery and Trafficking. And help me understand, what's the pitch of these traffickers? Come with me, I'll take you to America and enslave you? I mean, what makes people want to go along with them?
So often people are tricked into coming, right? They get promised a job in the U.S. and all kinds of jobs. And so they believe they want to provide for their families. And so they come over. But once they get here, they find that they cannot leave their trafficker and they've been defrauded. They're being forced and coerced into a work situation.
Doesn't word get out, though? This has been going on for a long time. Doesn't word get back that, hey, this is not the life you want?
You know, for a person in another country, it's very, very difficult for them to tell the difference between a legitimate labor broker bringing people over and a trafficker. We also have the problem here in the U.S. of young people who are tricked into the sex trade, for example, here in from King County and in King County and throughout Washington State.
And I was reading, too, that it isn't just sex work, that it can include labor and office jobs. And I'm wondering how people might be able to spot when somebody is being trafficked or forced into labor.
That's a great question. So any evidence of abuse that someone's experiencing. So, for example, a hotel worker was being coerced into and forced by her uncle to clean hotels here in King County. And one of her colleagues noticed that she was having signs of abuse and trauma. And so when it asked her, hey, can I help you? Is there something you need? And that's when the woman started to tell her what was happening to her, that her paycheck was being taken, that she was being abused by her uncle in the home. And so she was able to get out and get help.
So your group, Businesses Ending Slavery and Trafficking, are you helping business owners to recognize when this is going on and to do something about it?
Yes. So we provide training as well as do a lot of awareness raising with businesses about how businesses actually are on the front lines of the issue without even realizing it. So that hotel worker, for example, who noticed that her colleague was being harmed, hotel workers who see sex trafficking of young people happening in hotels across.
So you mean the person who made up my room might be trafficked?
Yes.
And the hotel wouldn't necessarily know that?
Right. Yes.
So how do they present themselves? How do they get hotels, I assume, go to hiring agencies of some kind, and you can't really tell who's legit and who's not?
You know, in this case, it was an uncle that had brought the young person over and got her some paperwork that said she was over 18 and just went and helped her get the job at the hotel. I mean, it was just this one-off sort of trafficking situation. And the hotel doesn't know the difference until they start to see those signs of abuse or trauma or someone unable to stay awake or not eating, not getting enough food and so hungry. Mm-hmm. You know, those sorts of things would demonstrate that there's something more going on. And that's the time when you'd want employees to be able to ask the questions. Do you need help?
And I see that you're working with companies like Amazon and Microsoft to help them be on the front lines to identify situations like this. Is there any evidence that there is, and possibly not to the fault of Amazon at large or Microsoft at large, but any evidence that labor trafficking is happening at those large companies?
I have not heard of cases yet at those large companies of that happening, but we are seeing it across the state, and it's a lot of the entry-level jobs. And so it could be the vendors and suppliers for those companies where you may see this kind of thing happen.
It has never been comfortable to walk up to a complete stranger and say, are you the victim of violence? Are you the victim of trafficking? Can I help you? That's never been a comfortable situation in the history of humankind. But especially today when we are increasingly isolating ourselves from eye contact with screens, social media, do you find that you are sort of battling that social isolation of people not being comfortable stepping forward for fear they might be filmed and shamed online or just not knowing how to interact or have that conversation?
Yes, I was just speaking with a survivor this week, actually interviewing her, preparing for this port training. And she said, yeah, there were so many times when I went through the airport and nobody ever asked me if I need help. She said one time I was actually on an airplane and everyone around me could tell me that I had been beat up. And nobody asked me anything. Nobody wanted to look at me. Nobody wanted to talk to me. But it was so clear that I had been beat up, and it was by my pimp. And so she said, you know, in that situation, just giving employees the tools they need to just say, do you need help? Right? That's not a very scary question to ask, is just, hey, do you need anything? Do you need help? And by showing that compassion and empathy, trafficking victims will often start to open up and start to build trust.
So if you have that conversation, you see somebody and you say, do you need help? And they say, yes. What do I, as an ordinary person, do next?
There is a National Human Trafficking Hotline that you could look up on your phone. Just look for National Human Trafficking Hotline, and it's the person can easily call that. And that can get someone access to services throughout the region or to law enforcement. If it's something where you're seeing an active emergency taking place, like someone actively being harmed, then always call 911.
Yeah. Are the people responsible for this getting caught and punished?
They are, yes. So historically, we've really focused as a county on, we were focusing on arresting the traffickers, which made a lot of sense. But then what the county was finding was that, you know, you put one trafficker in jail and then another one pops up because it's such a lucrative business. So the county started focusing increasingly on the buyers, especially in the sex trade, right? Who are the people who are driving demand for this activity? Because if there was no buyer, there would be no business.
Yeah, but you're saying that in many cases, the buyers are hotels who are unaware of what's going on.
The hotels are places where it can happen, right? But they're not actively trying to make it happen. In fact, we just rolled out training with the Washington Hospitality Association Education Foundation because their hotels want to say, hey, we want to protect any kids in our community. We want to protect these people. So the hotels really don't want it. The majority of them don't want it on their properties. What I'm talking about is the people who are buying sex. The sex buyers who are, without them, there would be no trafficking victims. And so what our county has done is increasingly focused on the buyers and how do we arrest and prosecute these buyers. And as we started to do that, I started asking, well, who are these buyers? Mm-hmm. And we found that they are predominantly, you know, men who work at a lot of the companies in our area, right? They're predominantly men from reputable companies who are using company time. A peak time to solicit sex online is 2 p.m. In the afternoon here in Seattle.
From the office?
Well, we just had that big bust in Bellevue not too long ago. They were using luxury condos, and they were part of well-known companies.
Yep.
Are they not just being prosecuted, but also rehabilitated? Because I imagine that if you're buying sex, there is a rehabilitation component there too.
There is. So Seattle Against Slavery offers a fabulous program that the county refers sex buyers to, which is a 10-week intensive program about why people are engaged in this activity and how to stop.
Mara Bretman is Executive Director of Businesses Ending Slavery and Trafficking. Mara, thank you very much.
Thank you.